Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Monday, March 1st, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that loves starting the month off with two shutouts for our goalies.
Oh, what a good weekend for them. I was so happy.
Me too. Much needed game for Carter Hart, and Moose looked absolutely incredible, like always. So yeah, I'm smiling this Monday morning. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all the Flyers news and as they face off to a busy March. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We have weekly mailbags every Wednesday, so if you have any questions about the Flyers, make sure you get them in. We are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your next order. All right, Rachel. So today's episode, we are going to recap this weekend's back-to-back against the Sabres with Anthony from Die by the Blade, which is a Buffalo Sabres website. So it'll be really good to review our two games with him, just from a Buffalo perspective. And then, of course, we will wrap up with some Flyers news and our nemesis of the week. Locked On Flyers is available wherever you listen, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, everywhere you're listening, we're there. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on any of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so like we previewed, we are here with Anthony Chandra, writer and editor at Die by the Blade, Expected Buffalo, and co-host of Expected Buffalo podcast. Anthony, you must love the Sabres.
Just a very abusive relationship that I just can't leave. They're you know, they're my childhood. That's what's kind of attached me to them at this point, but it's not great times, Danielle.
Yeah. Oh no, this weekend for you was not great times. I apologize in advance because I'm coming on smiling because of the Flyers. So sorry in advance. But let's jump into this weekend's game. Overall, what were your takeaways from this weekend's series? You can give me your Sabres takeaways and maybe if you have any Flyers.
Yeah, well, we'll start positive for your listeners and we'll talk about the Flyers, right? So what I found very, let's call it interesting, right, about Philadelphia is you had different guys kind of stepping up in the two games, right? Where it wasn't the same people kind of dominating both games, right? Where in game one, I thought Joel Farabee stuck out to me as a really underrated forward with everything he was doing. I know he didn't get a goal, but all of his behind the scenes stuff looked really, really impressive to me. Nicholas Obekubel was another very good one. Then the D pairing, I think it was Sanheim and Braun, and I didn't write it down and I apologize, but they did a really nice job too. I mean, every D pairing did a great job because the Sabres can't score a goal. But and then today, I mean, the only guy who was really outstanding, I thought, in both games was Sean Couturier, who just was a two-way dominance both
definitely
nights, right? Or both afternoons, right? But then today you had Nolan Patrick and Scott Laughton, who I know Laughton scored actually in the first game and not this one, but I actually thought he had a better game, which is kind of weird to say, but he had a really nice game. I like Nolan Patrick. Oscar Lindblom looked good. What's great about, and I can't speak on experience in this regard, but what's cool about the Flyers is that if one line isn't clicking, there's another one that's going to click in their place. And that's really neat to see, and it must be fun to watch. And then the other stars of both your games were Brian Elliott, who just the Sabres call him dad at this point, and Carter Hart. I'm glad we could help his season save percentage tonight. Right. Brian Elliott, I think, has dominated the Sabres more in the last decade than any other goalie, which is the most random thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, and I was just so surprised. Really? Elliott? And
of then all people. Brian yeah, Elliott.
Exactly.
To your point about the Lindblom-Lawton-Voracek line, they were pretty swell when it came to the passing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they connected really well in both games, but were, I think, a little bit more noticeable in the second game on Sunday, mm-hmm. just in terms of having some really smart puck movement. And it kind of complemented the Couturier line with JVR and Farabee, who, of course, like, capitalized again.
I think that the most metaphoric, like, instance in this game was when, you know, he just came up from behind Eichel and was like, oop, I'll take that and score a goal. Like, and that's that. It was just pure dominance, you know, two-way dominance, and hats off to Couturier. I mean, he's an amazing player, and I would trade you almost anyone except Eichel and Dahlin for him. But anyway, did you want me to talk about the Sabres?
Yeah, you know, before we started recording, yes. Danielle and I were talking, and I was just sort of sitting with the two games and saying, now, was that the Flyers or was that the Sabres? So I would love to hear your perspective on the Sabres to kind of figure out where on the scale that fits.
You're not going to love my answer. It's the Sabres. I mean, even in the two games before they missed like a week and a half with the COVID outbreak, right? That thank you, New Jersey Devils, for that. They looked really rough, and they continue to look rough. And we were saying like, oh, you know, it's the Islanders. They make everybody look kind of terrible, right? Then they lost to the Capitals, and then the Devils, and then the Islanders again, and now Philly. It's like, yeah, okay, they're just bad. So I think Philly played great. Don't get me wrong. I think they're a good team. But if you're asking me to kind of like put this on a weight and which side weighs down more, it's the Sabres being bad, for sure. Like I was telling you two before we started recording, in today's game, there were three Buffalo Sabres with a positive expected goal share, which is just insane. Yeah. I mean, that's you want to know an interesting stat? Here's something very interesting. Do you know, before this season, do you know which team in NHL history had the lowest 5-on-5 scoring rate ever? It was the 2014-15 Buffalo Sabres, who were intentionally losing games. Do you know who's on pace to break that record? The 2020-21 Buffalo Sabres, who certainly not intentionally losing games. Getting shut out by two different netminders in back-to-back days was just like, yeah, okay, they're just probably the worst offensive Sabres team of my generation. But
that's crazy to say, especially with a team that has Skinner and Hall and Eichel and
Reinhardt.
Don't expect that.
And Eric Staal, he's 100, but like he scores. So yeah, what's happening?
No, before we went into these games this weekend, I said watch out for Eric Staal because every game I watch of him, he scores. So this weekend I was just surprised. I honestly didn't really notice him too much in the game, but
that's common.
Yeah, but season, normally I don't. Yeah. But like normally I do. Like when he was with Minnesota, you always know when Staal's on the ice. So it's just weird how everyone's season, like even Taylor Hall. And I know Rachel, that was something that you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, it was just odd to me that I honestly do not remember hearing the play-by-play mention his name until the third period of the Sunday game.
Taylor Hall's a really interesting case study to me this year, right? And so if you're looking at expected goal share, right, he's third on the Sabres right now, second among forwards. Only Jack Eichel has done better. Taylor Hall is the second most snake bit player on the team behind Jeff Skinner. I mean, he can't buy a goal, and he gets great opportunities. Now, this weekend, he did not look very good. I will agree with you there. He was pretty invisible. But this season, his goal and point totals, I don't think, are representative of how well he's played. And it's unfortunate, and kind of the whole team is having that issue with finishing. But yeah, this weekend, you're right. He was a little tough to recognize out there. And it's kind of just a theme with everybody, though. I couldn't pick one Buffalo Sabre who stood out as good this weekend. I mean, Dylan Cousins looked okay in the first game, but then he didn't play today, which, okay. Sam Reinhart was like fine in both, but like I can't point to a guy and say, no, he had a good game. Mm-hmm. They didn't. So yeah, I could see why you'd have that takeaway of Taylor Hall. Like, is he even there? But I actually think he's been one of our better players, despite, again, not being able to score a goal or buy one for that matter.
We're covering everything you need to know about the Flyers, but what about the rest of the sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski and has all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. So subscribe to Locked On Today podcast wherever you listen. Like, what do you think the Flyers were doing in these two games that
they were able to exploit the Sabres' shortcomings. And the obviously the Sabres didn't score on any of it, but vice versa for the Sabres.
So that's an interesting question right now. And I think the best way, and I think this is what the Flyers did, but I think throughout this season, the best way to beat the Sabres is with an aggressive forecheck. And it's because the Sabres play a very conservative approach, and they tend to sit back and just kind of play almost like a new age version of the trap, right? Which is really fun to watch. Not really. So the Flyers are kind of like middle of the road in the NHL, if my memory is kind of serving me, for expected goals for per game. Based on that, they looked like a much more aggressive forechecking team to me, and they really exploited the fact that the Sabres are very much hobbled on defense, and they just took advantage of the fact that we've got Brandon Davidson, Matt Irwin, Jacob Bryson, just kind of a mash unit back there on the blue line. And they took advantage of two not-so-great goaltenders, which Johansson actually played okay today, but Carter Hutton has been routinely lit up this year. So I think they really just focused on pouring on that offensive rush. And in doing that, they came away with like three or four odd-man rush opportunities and capitalized on them. I mean, it's just they did a really nice job on the counterattack, and they didn't give up too much defensively. And there you go. That's the formula to beat the Sabres.
Yeah, I am very curious as to what the Flyers did defensively, if that will work against the Penguins.
I can tell you,
and other teams for sure,
because again, like I said, this is probably the most, aside from maybe the Detroit Red Wings, this is maybe the most futile offensive team in hockey. So yeah, I would not use that as a replicable model, but you could sure try.
One of the things that the Sabres have been very strong on this season is the power play.
Yes.
And we were nervous about that coming into the weekend just because the Flyers' penalty kill has been atrocious as of late. So what do you think the Flyers did to limit that power play?
So in the first game, I think not having a major weapon available in Jack Eichel was huge, because he's the bread and butter of that power play, right? He's the best passer. He's positionally sound. He always finds Victor Olofsson on the opposite wing, who just racks up power play goals, right? I think he's got more than half of the Sabres power play goals this season, Victor Olofsson does. So not having Eichel to set him up and really just kind of plugging in, I think it was Sam Reinhart in that spot, who's a good player. He's good on the power play, but he's not Jack Eichel. And that was game one. Today, I think the Flyers did a really good job of taking away the pass through the slot. And I think that stopped the Sabres from getting the puck to Olofsson on his off wing, where he kind of makes his money on that power play. So that's kind of, so if people remember, the Sabres power play started off at over a 30% rate through the first 15 games or so last season. And then everyone started to figure out that, oh, they just pass the puck to Olofsson every time. Like, they just hit him with a one-timer. And they started taking away the slot, and then they fell to, like, 20th by the end of the year. I'm seeing a very similar trend take place, where the long break made everyone forget the one thing the Sabres do on the power play. And now there's just more talent, so, I guess it could potentially be better than that, but that's the formula. Take away the slot. The Sabres don't have much after that. They don't, they fire a lot of low percentage shots from the point otherwise. And if teams are doing that against you, your penalty kill is going to thrive.
That's fair. I want to kind of go back a little bit to talking about like the Flyers' shortcomings, because while I do think overall this weekend they played two great games, there were still moments, and I'm thinking of Sunday's game, that first period, where I felt like the Flyers definitely gave the Sabres chances. And it's just so clear that the Sabres just offensively, I don't know, it's just like they kind of dropped the ball. like I'm thinking of the Brandon Montour, where he had a perfect opportunity to shoot the puck, and it would have gone past Carter Hart. So there were so many moments when I was like, oh gosh, the Sabres are getting momentum, the Flyers are letting the Sabres get to their game, and then the Sabres just didn't capitalize.
Well, it's been a trend all year, right? And the Sabres have a very low expected goals for rate. However, their actual goals for rate is even lower. And I mean, if you take the first game of this little mini series this weekend, the Sabres had 1.89, so rounded up to two expected goals at even strength. Obviously, they didn't score any, whereas the Flyers had 2.8, which rounded up to three, it was a closer game in that regard. Today was not the same. The Sabres were at 1.6, the Flyers were at 2.6, and I think they simply dominated. I mean, they controlled over 60% of the expected goal share. But yeah, you're right. Yesterday, I think more so than today, there were definitely opportunities that kind of left us all clutching our fists. Like, can we please just put the puck away? Like, the one today that stuck out to me, though, was, like you said, Brandon Montour just firing a clapper into Carter Hart while he's sprawled out on the ground. It's like, that's interesting. But that's kind of been the Sabres all year. I mean, Jeff Skinner is God, he's the poster child for that, where, you know, he should have 5 goals at this point, and how many posts has he hit? And it's just the whole team is so snake bit. And if they were that degree of snake bit, right, and their expected goal rate was higher, well, they'd still be getting some goals, right? But they're a low event team as it is. Like, they don't produce a lot of offense as is, and the fact that they're not capitalizing on the limited offense that they produce is a really big problem.
Poor Skinner. I mean, there were just so many opportunities where it just didn't go in for him. And then he was taking penalties. And I just knew, if Skinner is scratched on Sunday, like, Kruger, like, this kid can't catch a break.
No. And I think they got enough social ire, let's say, on Twitter about leaving him out for 3 games. They weren't going to just put him in and then take him right back out again. I'm glad they didn't, at least, but wouldn't be surprised if he goes back into the taxi squad rotation again after this, which is just awful. But like I said, though, hats off to Philadelphia. They did a really good job, and they're more of like a medium event team to me, and they just did a really good job of capitalizing, and they kept the pressure on. And the Sabres didn't the biggest issue I see here is that they didn't adjust their approach despite all the injuries, right? They still decided, we're going to lock this down defensively. We're going to drag the game into the mud, and we're going to try and win this thing 2-1 or 1-0, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they do every game, but the Flyers just had too much going for them offensively. And you know, they had different, like we talked about before, they had different lines in each game ready to kind of dominate that possession, dominate, you know, the offensive chances. And that's how good teams do good things. And that's how they look so much better than the bad ones. They just have depth.
I guess we're halfway through the Flyers-Buffalo series for the season.
Mm-hmm.
What would be like your halftime analysis of what to expect moving forward?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's funny. I haven't looked at that part of the schedule before this, but if they're not consecutive games, Brian Elliott's going to really bump up his stats in those 4 more contests. My takeaway is that from a Sabres standpoint, if you're going to compete with Philly, you got to open it up a little bit more. Whereas, well as, you know, Elliott has historically done against the Sabres and you know, how well Carter Hart did today, those are goalies that can be beaten, right? And, you know, especially with the rough start Hart has had. So if you're going to compete with them, you need to be able to match on offense. You can't just sit back and let them forecheck on you. It's just not going to work. They're too offensively talented to really pull that off. So I'd like to see the Sabres open it up a little bit more, take a few more risks, which is hard to say, you know, when your goaltending tandem is really bad and your starter is injured. But I don't know how else you beat Philadelphia. I mean, it's just, you saw this weekend that they got shut out 6-0 in over 2 nights, and they sat back. They didn't produce anything offensively, and they didn't try to. And Philly, credit to them, they don't give up a lot of counter rush opportunities, where defensively, I think they're, man, the 8th ranked expected goals against team in the league right now. And so they're a good defensive team. They're not going to give you a ton of those opportunities. And
I mean, you're in the same division as the Flyers. You see the same teams as we do. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the Flyers fall in this division?
So that's an interesting question, right? And I was low key kind of hoping you wouldn't ask me that. because I have a lot of, you know, friends on Flyers Twitter, because our head honcho, our main managing editor at SB Nation, is Stephanie Driver, and she's a big Flyers writer, right? So I by kind of association, I have a lot of Flyers people kind of, you know, with me, and I made a prediction on our podcast at the beginning of the year that they would miss the playoffs, and I don't think that'll be true anymore. I don't. I think that they will be 3rd or 4th, depending on if the Islanders' recent kind of uptick in play holds strong or if it kind of tails off. But I think Washington and Boston are going to be comfortably the top 2 teams in that division. Or I know that Philly's kind of on a tear right now, but I see them finishing probably 3rd. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to last very long. The Rangers and Devils aren't quite there yet, and the Sabres are the Sabres. So I really think the only threat to them is maybe Pittsburgh, but in reality, I think they'll end up with a playoff spot. I'll say this. The top of that division is so close to the point where any combination of Islanders, Flyers, Bruins, Capitals, I don't know that I'd be surprised to see any, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nothing would really shock me.
Well, Anthony, that's all the questions we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, happy to do it. I hope I didn't throw in too much boring analytics stuff, but it's kind of how I
see the game.
Awesome. No, that's what I was going to say. We love that. So thank you for bringing that up. And, you know, I know that our listeners will enjoy that as well.
So, Rachel, these two games have put me in such a good mood starting off the week. It kind of reminds me of how I feel whenever I eat Built Bar. Built Bars are so, so good, and they really do put me in such a good mood. They are a protein bar that is healthy for you, but tastes like a candy bar. And they have so many different flavors. I have been on an apple almond crisp kick, but I actually just got a new box of caramel brownie, and they are my absolute favorite.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I'm still stuck on carrot cake. I know I'm basic, but I can't help it.
It's good.
The best part, though, is that it's healthy. It's great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while you have that delicious treat. And I don't know how they do it, but it's an amazing combination of being low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. And if you're on a diet like keto, this will fit right in.
So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 at BuiltBar.com. So Rachel, the Flyers had two great games, but there are so many other games on every single night in the NHL. So you have plenty of time to check out what bets you're wanting to make before they drop the puck. And the perfect place to go is to our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
And football might be over, but there are so many other sports to choose from. There's the NBA, college basketball, and baseball is right around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, which is great because I want to see what those odds are on The Bachelor. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis on season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. So subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Rachel. So such good conversation with Anthony. My heart goes out to the Sabres fans, honestly.
Oh, man.
But what a weekend for the Flyers. Just put me in such a good mood. I'm so ready to take on the Penguins. I say that now, but I'm just in a really good mood. So before we get into our nemesis of the week, there were a few things that I wanted to talk about that we obviously didn't get to talk about in our conversation with Anthony. So all of the Flyers who were on COVID protocol are now out of COVID protocol. And we saw a lot of them this weekend with Oscar Lindblom coming back, Jake Voracek and Scott Laughton. Travis Konecny got off of COVID protocol on Sunday, kind of in the middle of the game. So
yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. But happy to see him getting off of COVID protocol.
And he's going to be a dad?
Yeah, I was just going to say, another Travis Konecny thing is that he, yeah, announced on Instagram, his girlfriend, he's expecting their first child. So congratulations to Travis Konecny. But so those are some quick news updates on like the roster and stuff. But some things I wanted to talk about during the game. Obviously, we're past Saturday's game, but AV scratched Phil Myers for Saturday and then scratched Gustafson for Sunday. Were you surprised either of the scratchings?
You know, if he had not scratched Konecny for that one game the way he had, I think I would have been more surprised about the Myers scratch. Mm-hmm. But it seems like this is a thing he's doing. I don't know that I like it, but it's a thing that he's doing. So I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think if I had been asked before the game, if you're going to sit somebody, who should sit with Myers coming back in, like on Sunday? And I would have said Haig, but, you know.
It was very surprising to me with Myers, especially on Saturday. It kind of felt like it was out of nowhere. I didn't think that Myers was playing badly. I didn't think he warranted a scratch. Like you said, I would have gone for Haig both times, especially on Sunday's game with Gustafsson, because of how good that second, but it's kind of like that first power play looked with Gustafsson and Gossespierre, with JVR and Claude Giroux, and I believe Joel Farabee. No, Couturier is up there with them. But anyway, it just was weird that Gustafsson would sit. Either way, the Flyers still pull it out, so I guess it's whatever at this point. But that was kind of surprising. And I agree with you that I don't really like where that's going. Like, I don't like that ideology that AV is following with that. One thing I do think, I guess AV obviously was able to have a little bit of wiggle room because Gossespierre had a really great weekend. And so you kind of were able to sit Gustafsson and be kind of fine with that power play, like you said, with Joel Farabee jumping up.
Still
with
did not score.
It didn't. But it didn't look bad. I thought that the movement was really good. It looked a lot better than normally. And definitely better than the second unit, in my opinion. But another question about the goaltending. What did you think about AV going with Elliott and then Hart in the weekend instead of it being Hart and Elliott? And I guess, yeah, this was the first time Elliott got two starts in a row in a very long time.
Again, I disagree. I would have gone with Hart on Saturday and Elliott on Sunday. But AV doesn't do it that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, and it worked out. It worked out great for both of them in the end. I just now I'm wondering, who does he start against the Pens? And I want it to be Hart, and it'll probably be Elliott.
Yeah, that's my main thing. Like, I thought that Elliott looked good in both of his two games. So I wasn't really too upset about Elliott starting and then Hart starting, as long as Hart played a game this weekend, of course. And I think it did work out. Hart looked fantastic on Sunday. But that is the big question mark. Who plays against Pittsburgh? You think he's going to go with Hart, but then again, he could go with Elliott because Elliott has made a case. But is there a case to be made? So many questions. And in my opinion, so many unnecessary questions. Just go with Hart. But last question, Rachel. We got a little bit more time to assess the Drew Hayes Patrick line, so I wanted to check in and see what you thought.
I still like it. I still think there's a problem, but it's mostly a Hayes problem. And yeah, that he's just off.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, he's like, he's not hitting the right passes. He's not connecting 100% the way I would like him to. Mm-hmm. But I do like Drew on a line with Patrick.
Yeah.
Right now, so I think that part of it's working. So, and assuming that Konechny comes back, I don't even know where you put him right now, but I'd be hesitant to shuffle any of the top three lines right now, given how successful they've been over the last few games. So we'll see what happens there.
I definitely agree with you on that. I think that Giroux and Patrick are really carrying that line, and they look fantastic. Giroux just continues to look like a man on a mission. It's so great to see. But I do like that line, but it is noticeable that Kevin Hayes is kind of, at this point, it looks like Giroux and Patrick are helping Hayes out instead of Giroux and Hayes helping Patrick find his groove. We'll have to keep an eye out. All right, so for our nemesis of the week, if you are new to the podcast, every Monday we identify who or what in hockey is our nemesis for this upcoming week. Last week, could it have been the Sun for the outdoor game, Pasternak? It was people questioning Carter Hart. And a week later, we see he gets a shutout against the Sabres, but still a shutout nonetheless. So, you know, I'm glad that we are able to quiet the Carter Hart questions. But this week, I think I would have to say the lack of Black History Month content from the Flyers. We've talked about the content that they did put out, which was a lot of the Snyder hockey. If you haven't watched the mini documentary, it's very quick. I believe under like 15 minutes. It's very good. It touches on four specific kids that are going through and have went through the Snyder hockey program. But that's pretty much it for the Flyers. I mean, they've posted different parts about it several times, but I didn't really see a lot or see much else from the Flyers. I know it's not great to compare the Flyers to other cities and other teams, but there have been other teams that have really done stuff, not necessarily broadcasting it to the whole NHL, but just in their community. And that was something that I would have loved to see the Flyers do, because, you know, I love when the Flyers, like, you know, put stakes in the community and are doing things with the community. Just one thing that I was like, you know, not great. I would have loved to see them do more, but hopefully this is a stepping stone for next season that they will do more.
Yeah, I agree. And I felt like I saw more from Seattle, which doesn't even have a team yet.
So. Yeah, yes, exactly. Like, Seattle it's very hard because you want to love them so much, but then it's also like, stay away from all of my players and just take Robert Haig at this point. So, not great, but, you know, it is what it is. But I agree with you that they have been unreal. Wrapping up today with our Flyers fun thing, we didn't talk about it yet, but AV now has 700 NHL career wins. Congrats to the coach. I hope obviously the Flyers keep pushing on so he can climb that ladder. I think he's tied with Mike Babcock, so love to see him surpass him because, yeah, not a Mike Babcock fan. So with that, thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow. Always keeping up with the latest Flyers news and checking in on the Phantoms. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your questions for our weekly mailbag on Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam.
Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.